You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Nine 14 on a Friday.
Hey, what's up, man? Hang on a second.
All right.
Sorry, goodbye.
What are you doing?
Just freaking sales calls all morning. And finally, one of my play a game with, because he called me, and he's like, is this Mr. Musselman? And I said, yeah, who's this? And he goes, this is Ed with National Auto, whatever. And I said, hey, I was just getting ready to call you. And he kind of paused. And I said, hey, yeah, I'm looking for donations for my brand new 501c3 program. I was just about ready to dial you. That's what a coincidence that you called me. I was wondering if you could take a time out of your day to for me to tell you what's going on. And then he hung up on me.
You clearly have nothing to do today, do you?
Dude, and I do not want to talk about the bird ball thing because I'm in a peaceful world right now. I'm in a good mood. I had dinner last night with Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
Of the state, of the great state of Texas?
Of the great state of Texas.
So you're in a happy place? You don't want to talk about, you don't want to talk about Bo Bergdahl getting a dishonorable discharge and no Bergdahl?
Dude. Fuck. Hey, we're not on the air, are we?
Of course we are.
Oh, I was about to say something really mean. Okay.
Hey, the Army's a fucking shit show, man. Are you fucking kidding me?
That's what I was just going to say.
Fuck.
What the hell is
going on? Fuck. Are you fucking kidding? So every guy out there who does what they're supposed to do, and this son of a bitch walks off the his fucking post, and now he had PTS when he was a kid, and every other fucking bullshit story, and he's not accountable for his actions. He got zero brig time. Zero.
Yeah. No, I know. Well, time served, Mac. He was in a prison. Enemy was in any prison of war. Time served, brother.
When you walk into the prison, okay, you don't get time served. That was your choice. It's not time served.
No, I get it. I'm being facetious. You know that.
I know you. I know you.
My point
are.
Is, I don't want.
Okay,
talk about this.
Let's talk about
this
something
is
else.
Upset me. I'm going to say things about people about that service because I cannot believe that a judge. You know, that other service members saw compassion. You know, just for losing, just for the fact that one soldier lost the ability to basically live a normal life, paralyzed, because he went on a rescue mission. You know, just one. We're not about the people that died, but just the one that was injured. You should get life in prison because you chose to walk off and make a statement. You didn't care about anybody else. And now, you're shooting time because you didn't choose life imprisonment? And you don't think it's fair? You don't think because the president...
Hold on. We're not going to talk about this.
I know.
You're spinning up. I can tell. I can tell. You're spinning up. Let me intervene before... You have to go get Botox shots this afternoon, okay? Let me read you a couple. Let me read you a couple text messages from my friends. Motherfucker, I'm gonna lose it. Next one, no brig time because
I get the same text messages. Don't read them
to me. No brig time because we are going to set him up with a blindfold and shoot him, right?
Yeah. Well, I get the same text messages. So,
he'll be hired by the Huffington Post or MSNBC as a military analyst within an hour. Hey, do you remember, what's his name? The boy-girl guy, Chelsea Manning. She was given like a Harvard fellowship before they took that shit away from her. Yeah. And if you were dumb enough to stay there on post and just get shot at, you know what you got? A bag of drugs from the VA and good luck, motherfucker. Yeah.
And a combat dude.
Combat infantry badge.
Yeah. Or CIB. No.
Yeah. So, okay. Hey, can we talk about The emails are starting to come in.
Oh, please help us. Don't do this. Don't do this today.
I won't read you the bad ones. Here's one. When you said that, I thought you were joking. You do have a bullshit sense of humor sometimes, Mac. I honestly don't joke about stuff like that, though. I would never joke about that.
Yeah, but people that don't know you, you gotta.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. But and then he goes on. Probably like everybody else, I'm stunned. I don't know what to say. You saying fuck about 5 times is probably what I have going through my head right now. I just don't understand it. I'd really like to understand the footnotes. Is this guy a victim? Did the Army fuck it up? Should he have never been there in the first place? Is that where the blame is getting laid in all of this? But at the end of the day, aren't we all responsible for ourselves? I guess the answer to that now is no, we're not all responsible for ourselves. That you can go there and you can be a victim there too. Good for us. Congratulations to the Army. Way to lower the standards even further.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's talk about your genetic test, okay? We haven't talked about that. So, tell everybody.
Okay.
Tell everybody.
So my daughter has been really big on genealogy. You know, wants to know where she's from and, you know, the whole thing. She's just really fascinated with it. So, I have a bunch of genealogy stuff that some of the family members did. And I did some of it on Ancestry, you know, track stuff. I did that for a while and then that got kind of boring. But, so she goes and buys these kits, now there's a lot of DNA places you can go. She did the research and found that 23andMe has a very, they all do the same thing, but it's just the way, I guess, they present it, the information. It's not really that confusing in the test for 23andMe. So she did it. In packages with the little plastic tube that you spit into a fill line, and then you close the cap, which breaks some liquid probably to make sure your saliva is, not gonna go bad. And then, you ship it off. And then with the app, it tracks the whole, you know, it arrived at the lab. Now it's going through testing and coding and whatever. And then one day you get this.
That's cool. That's kind of like my Domino's pizza app. It's in the oven. It's on its.
Exactly. Yeah. Alex has it out for delivery. Yeah. Exactly the same thing.
That's awesome. So I feel like I'm part of the process.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, that you're involved somehow. So we get this thing and then sure enough, man, there it is, black and white. And you know, it really didn't shock me because I knew I had been told, you know, hey, you're mostly German, Spanish, and Native American Indian. So
I thought you were Mexican.
No, you clowns keep saying that.
But your grandma was Mexican?
No, she was Spanish.
Oh.
My grandma was from Spain.
Okay. All right.
Spain, European.
Got it?
Yes. Do I need to do a geology or do I need not geology. Geographic location? Do we need to do a class on where this resides? Siberian Peninsula, the whole thing?
No.
Okay. I know some of you guys, not, you know, living in the northern parts of the United States, the brain kind of freezes. I mean, you do lose.
No, I was telling this story yesterday about one night in 2006 in the COC. Somebody says, hey, there's 30-something guys in there, right? Of every, like, ethnic origin. One thing you like and one thing you hate. So going around the room, and people are saying funny shit, right? And this one kid says, I hate Mexicans. And he's Hispanic. And everybody looks at him, right? And he goes, no, motherfuckers, we ain't all Mexicans. And with that, you start laughing. He goes, I'm from Guatemala. He's from Mexico. He's from Puerto Rico. He's actually from Spain. Okay? You dumb white and black son of a bitches.
Yeah.
Well, no, what? It's true.
Well, why do you hate Mexicans? Well, when I was being smuggled into the United States, they took all the federales, took all my money, and then I had to steal food to eat with the coyotes as we went north. And everybody's sitting there like, what? How old were you? 10. Like, okay, my kids won't stay in the other room when they're like 13 years old. And and the Sasquatch video is on. This kid is 10 going through Mexico, and he gets smuggled through in a cutout in the back seat of a car, and he gets taken to a gas station in Los Angeles, and he gets told, hey, you stay in the back of this gas station, and there'll be a woman that comes to get you within the next 2 days. And he's never met his mom. He was raised by his grandma for 10 years. And I'm thinking, holy shit. Yeah. Anyway, so testimony.
No, it's the truth. It's true, though. Everybody thinks people don't understand regions. You know, you could be from Colombia. You're a Mexican. You could come from Patagonia. Where are you from? Patagonia. Oh, you're Mexican? You know, you're like, what are you talking about? If you come from South America or Central America, you're Mexican, period. And that's what's like drives me crazy. It's like, no, I'm Spanish. Oh, aren't they from Mexico? Didn't Mexico go to Spain and you know, discover Spain?
Yeah, that's, you're right. Yep, it's the reverse roles, you idiots. Yep. God, you know.
Hey, let me tell you though, these are pretty funny. Look, especially when you're sitting with Marines, you know, high school educated, most of them.
Oh yeah.
And most of them weren't. Right? Most of them weren't valedictorians, okay?
No. And you can hear the hamster running on the cage in their frickin' head. So you know how their power is getting to their brain. Really. And it's not a very, you know, athletic hamster at that. I mean, he's probably diabetic, type 2. Yeah, he doesn't run all the time. So, I mean, yeah, you talk about these guys, man, and they're just, it's just... When you start talking, and I'll never forget, I forgot who I was talking. It wasn't the Marine Corps. We were talking, and they were like, hey, I think it was a staff sergeant. Hey, so where are you from? What's your ethnic group? And I said, well, I'm Spanish, German, and Native American Indian. And they go, well, why do you look Italian? And you just kind of look, you know, like, what? What does an Italian look like? Oh, it looks like you. So if you look like Mario or Luigi from the Donkey Kong, you're freaking Italian. If you look like Cheech and Chong, well, Cheech Marin and Tommy Chong was not freaking Mexican. Everybody thinks he was a Mexican.
Because he hung out with Cheech.
Because he hung out with Cheech. You know, Cheech was actually a Mexican. Tommy Chong, you know, actually was part Asian. But he's still a Mexican by association.
Hey, listen to this. Listen to this. So they go around the room, and we get to a staff sergeant, a Hispanic staff sergeant from L.A., and he goes, well, if I'm going to be completely honest here, I hate black people. And I said, shut the fuck up. This thing just ended. And he said, no, everybody here is cool, and I consider everybody here green. He said, but look, where I grew up, you know, look, there's a reason they separate us in penitentiaries in California. We don't get along.
Right.
And then he looks at the white guys. He's like, you white dumbasses don't know anything. And one guy says, we thought you guys hated us more than you hated each other. And they both look at us, and they say, oh, hell no, y'all are harmless. We don't get along. And then we had a really interesting discussion about that, about the black and the Hispanic divide that doesn't get talked about a whole lot in public. And it's pretty interesting. The Hispanic was, hey, look, we come here to work. All they do is they talk shit. And the black people were like, whoa, you guys haven't been through anything that we've been through. And then they were all cool about it.
Yeah,
right?
They were fine about it, yeah.
But they were giving us a glimpse behind the curtain, right? And then
we had a guy
interesting.
In 1-1 when I first came in, and everybody called him the Commodore. And he was like a career Lance Corporal, you know? I don't know. He was a Lance Corporal with two hash marks, but they called him the Commodore.
because he was so knowledgeable in the ways of the Marine Corps, because he'd been in longer than everybody is. So the Commodore was from Jamaica, so he had that real yaman, you know, real and he was just funnier than shit, man. And it, the problem with Commodore was he just couldn't lay out the ganja while he was still in uniform. So the Commodore would roll out the formation stoned out of his mind, and he'd be glassy eyed in the first sergeant, you know, like, you know, I forget his real name, but he, I think even the first sergeant called him Commodore. Commodore, get out of here. He'd chew his ass. And he'd be smiling, walking back to the barracks. And then we, you know, but there was a discussion that the Commodore had one time, because I forgot, there was a real tall black guy, and I forget where he was from. He was from, like, the South, but, and he had that Cajun type, you know, that Cajun accent.
Yeah.
And so someone had said, hey, you know, are you from Jamaica, too, to this other black guy? And Commodore, crazy, man. You just because he's black, man, you think he's from Jamaica, man. You know, and he's like, what the hell's wrong with all you whites? You think that everybody's black. They come from Jamaica or Africa. You know, he's just, oh, man, he's going nuts. I mean, he just blew up, dude. And I'll never forget. That was just one of those funny moments. You're like, oh. But I was a boot, so I don't think I could. I could even afford to laugh in that crowd.
Yeah, you don't even. You know,
then it would have been like, exactly. What are you laughing at, Michaelman? Hey, come here, Boot. Why are you laughing, Boot?
Oh, my God.
Someone gave you orders to laugh, Boot.
You know what? That's why it's such a beautiful organization, yes?
It's a very colorful organization. To say the least, man. It's got. Yeah. It's a very, and you know, and I would tell you, if they put some kind of HBO series together that would cover that kind of behind the scenes, not the stupid, everybody's a hero and air valid, no. Just kind of the stupid stuff that takes right. place.
The discussions.
It would be fucking hilarious,
the,
man.
The intellectual discussions that goes along with,
yeah.
I'll give you one. Here's one. It's after a CAX in 1985, and we finish up in November because we had the Marine Corps birthday out there, and I'm a platoon commander with 1-5, and my platoon sergeant is a guy named Rich Stebbins, who was a dog handler, tunnel guy in Vietnam, and so it's freezing, and now we go admin, so we're doing an admin bivouac the night that we go index at whatever 1500. Doing an admin bivouac, and I don't know what the temperature was in 29 Palms, but it was like down near freezing, and you know we're waiting around, and he says, hey, watch this, and I said, what are you doing? And he's building like a little pool out of sand, like a little container, mm-hmm. and then he's building like a little riverbed, and then he goes and he gets a gas can, and I said, what are you gonna do with that? He said. Watch, and now you got all these Marines standing around this gas can. But he's a Vietnam guy, right? So he knows his shit. He knows his shit. So he pours some fuel into the little pool that he made, and it's not more than like a foot wide. This little pool that he makes, and it, you know, it might be 3 inches deep. And he pours some in there, and he pours some in the little river that was running downhill into the pool. And he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to light this, and then I'm going to set the can outside at an angle that will slowly trickle more down into the river, and it will slowly feed that. Marines are like, that's awesome. So everybody stand around, and he lights it, and everybody watches as as the flame goes up the river towards the gas can. And... right, this is like, and I'm standing there with them, all dumbasses, right? And so the flame hits the gas can, and thank God, right, the top's open, and it wasn't full of fuel, because all it does is this huge flame shoots out the opening of the gas can, and everybody, like, takes off running, right? And you can imagine how hard everybody's laughing. And people are yelling at him, God damn it, Staff Sergeant, what the fuck? And I don't find
this funny nor entertaining. I actually find this very childlike and very immature that we're discussing something like this on because I don't condone these actions. My job as a Marine gunner was paramount of safety and safeguarding and mitigation of risk and hazard. And you're talking about,
stupid shit, right?
No,
and
never happened.
I turn around and yell, I thought you knew what the fuck you were talking about, man. You're a Vietnam guy. He goes, well, look, it worked the last time I did it. But it's that kind of shit. Stupid people doing stupid shit.
No.
Oh, my God. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. Yeah, but I think that stuff would be funny. It would be kind of like Jackass, the Marine Corps version of Jackass, right?
Yeah. You know, have you noticed lately what's going on in the world today?
The president's on his way to Asia?
No. The monkeys have picked the lock. They are out of the cage, man.
I know.
Yeah. And no one let them out. They just got out on their own. Donna Brazil, writing, having this book out that's, slab. And then the big media outlets are being called to the carpet saying, why aren't you covering this?
Yeah, because political broke
this. They don't want to die in a plane crash. Yeah, Donna Brazil, if you're listening, don't get in a plane for the next year.
Yeah.
I'm here to pick up Donna Brazil. Who are you? I'm your pilot today. Yeah, there's a little Alaskan brush plane out there, and it's a little blow-up doll in the front seat. Oh, come on in.
Hey, let me ask you this. Did you find it surprising that she even wrote that shit?
Yeah, actually, that one hit me like, what? I did the, what?
Yeah, and then Montana Man gives me last night, she's just trying to sell books. Okay, look, she could write a book and sell some books if she wanted just to sell it. When you throw Hillary Clinton, and if you read the shit that's in just the article she wrote,
and then you have the Dems that are still on Capitol Hill in the Senate saying, we knew about this.
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren gets interviewed last night, and she gets asked, so do you believe that the primary was rigged?
Yeah.
She says, yes. And you're like, holy shit. And then the shoes continue to fall. Bernie Sanders knew it was rigged, and he never came out. And do you remember when he was sitting at the Democratic National Convention, and she got the nominee, and he was sitting up in the second, level, and they put the camera on him, and he looked like somebody had shoved about a half a dozen, not grapefruits, but half grapefruits with all the acid dripping out of it, straight up his fat ass? Do you remember that look on his face? That's what that look was from. He knew that it was rigged, and he didn't say shit.
He was a patsy the whole way, and he feels more stupid now than he does back then.
I know.
Now even his followers are saying,
what the fuck?
Again, when you're faced with you get to choose the way you die, or you get to go, lose the election. Oh, okay, well, what? It's not that important to me.
Right.
But now she was on the late show. She was doing all the little stuff. But then now she's disappeared. This book came out, man, she went back in hiding. Hillary.
Oh, she's overseas doing her book tour, I thought.
Oh, I think she's in hiding, dude. They don't want... Because how is she going to fight this? What is she going to say?
I don't know, because Donna Brazil said in the article, it says that there's a contract signed, and it outlines how money is going to move. And it's designed to get around campaign finance laws. So I don't.
Right.
It's pretty. You know what?
It's so.
I know, but Mike, you know
ugly.
What? We need this because I don't know where this is going to take the country, but the country's got to get out of this thing that it's in now, which is
corruption.
Yeah,
lies,
corrupt,
deceit.
And we don't pass any legislation. We don't do the people's work. We just go there and do bullshit. The country's got to get out of that. And I think that it's this kind of stuff that will ultimately, hopefully, create something different in Washington D.C. But that's why I see Trump as
come on, dude.
He's a necessary event in the nation's history so that we can get out of this shit that we're in.
But to believe that. What's the Americans going to do about it? They're going to be like, I'm so upset about this. What's on TV tonight? What's for dinner tonight? Oh, I'm so pissed off by this. I don't know what to do. I'll go out and get the groceries,
Yeah.
They're, it's just, it's so pathetic, and that's what they know. You know, it's like, it's pathetic.
Yeah, but Mike truly is. Mike, I agree with you, but I mean, I think, and I know you feel the same way. I believe in the goodness of the American people. We've seen it in Houston. We've seen it in Florida. Every time there's a crisis, the American people step up and do the right thing. They elected Donald Trump. Okay? And so there is discontent. There is so much discontent in the nation that they rejected. And I'll tell you what. The election would have been between two non-mainstream candidates if it would have been anywhere close to being not rigged by the Democrats. And it would have been Trump.
Hillary wouldn't have stood a chance.
It would have been Trump, and it would have been Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
And that's how much discontent is in the nation. So ultimately, you know, the people, you know, are going to speak, and I think send different kinds of people to Washington, D.C., but to me, the more this shit gets thrown out on the table, the better, because it's disgusting.
So, listen, Frontline just released its two new episodes, 3 and 4, the Putin, part 1 and part 2.
Oh.
You got to watch it.
Have you seen
it? Each one's an hour long. Yeah, I watched them both. And it's on Frontline again, same good channel that's been, you know, I've been putting on the pedestal. So it's about Putin and how he came to power and what he did and why he did what he did. You know, and it is extremely like, wow, I didn't think of that. That is epic.
Epic?
You know, that is, yeah, it, very, very well done, put together very professionally, and it leaves you with the, okay, all right. I'm not going to tell you anything about it because you'd be fascinated by it. It would really, because that's the way you are too. You're the same way when you look at something like a leader and you kind of see what makes him tick and how he does things and then the reasons why he did these things. And then you kind of, you know, yeah, he's still an adversary. He's still, the president of a different country.
You're a Putin lover though.
I'm not a Putin lover. I respect the man. And here's why. Because he's a leader, Mac. He is. Like it or not, he's a leader. Now you can sit there and say, "Well, I don't agree with some of his how he leads and the end results of it." But the fact is, we haven't had a guy like that as the president of the United States in quite some time. Teddy Roosevelt, you know, would have probably been the last guy where, you know, he didn't stand for that shit, and he put his country first, and that's the thing that kind of bugs me when you say I'm a Putin lover. Was the fact that, you know, I'm not a Putin lover. I respect the man because he's the leader of his country and he puts his country first above all other things. What's wrong with that? Isn't that what we try and do? But we can't because we got, you know, stupidity in our legislative and congressmen. And, you know, they may not have corruption at their legislative and Senate branch. They may have corruption at just the president. But that's not too bad when you consider you just got to worry about one guy and not, you know, 350 fucking guys. I'd rather have to worry about just one guy than what you see right now is you get Republicans against Republicans, Democrats against Republicans. Hell, they can't even get together and pass something and come together over, you know, Americans. They got to put their party first. So, and the, you know, the kind of unique thing about Putin is he just eliminates that shit. You know, you're a corrupt politician, you're in prison. Right?
Yeah, unless you're his corrupt politician. Yes?
I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. I'm not a Russian. I don't live in that country. It doesn't bother me.
I have to watch it, and then we could have a...
But you look at his results, what he did, you're like,
all right. I'm open to watching it. I've become a fan of Frontline. Here's an email. You two have completely ruined my morning.
Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
Bergdahl? Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm talking about him.
And then the next thing, you guys changed the fucking subject, And then you don't even finish Mike's narrative about DNA. You get on talking about Marines doing stupid shit. You get on Marines talking about how they hate each other and laughing about it. God damn it, would you get back to the DNA test?
We're going to have to do that Monday then. Sorry, folks. That's the cliff. That's the hook.
That's the tease. Jeez, yep. Come on, you got time?
Actually, I'm walking out the door.
Where are you going?
I'm going to the petroleum club. Well, actually, on the boat.
I'm going
to the petroleum club.
I'm going to the petroleum club, which is a gas station that serves food, okay? That's what the petroleum club is.
Right? Best burgers in town.
I know, but everybody thinks it's some mahogany place with linen and velvet drapes.
Plastic chairs. Picnic table. Well, not even picnic tables. Folding plastic tables that you can buy at Costco. But you're in because when you walk in, they look at you. You just come in, and the good girls are like, cheeseburger all the way.
Yeah, got it.
And then they know that I like the crinkle cut fry.
They know that?
The straight fry. So, yeah, they know that.
So can you just say, I'll have the usual when you walk in?
Yeah. Normally that's how it works.
All right. Well, we won't distract you while you're driving.
I'm kidding. We can talk some more.
Okay. All right. Here's
takes about 15 minutes to get there.
All right. Then finish your narrative about your DNA.
All right. So I get the results back, and I'm 80% European, and out of that 80%, it's kind of, I think, 40% German, 35% Spanish, Iberian Peninsula people, Spain,
nice.
And then the other, there's like small little places, you know, here and there, like Eastern Europe, and, you know, like 0.1% of this, or, so just the whole percentages. And then I'm basically 18.4% Native American Indian.
How much?
18.4.
Near 8? Wait a minute. You just said you were 85% European.
Yes.
And you're
80% European. 80.80.
Okay. And how much are you Spanish?
Oh, I have to look. Hang on. I'm 40% German.
Okay.
And then I think I'm like 35% Spanish.
Okay, that's 75%.
And then the other 5% are like, there's a little bit of Ukrainian in there.
Ugh, those idiots.
Well, there's like a spread load, you know, so there's like maybe about 10 different things that are equal about, you know, 0.5% each. I mean, it's just, you got to look at it.
Okay.
But then I'm 18.4% Native American Indian.
That's a lot.
And then it's like, well, then it's like 2% unknown.
Oh, what is that?
Yeah. Not from this planet.
No,
like, that's what my wife said. My wife said that. She's like, yeah, the unknown is because you're a damn alien. You're not even from this planet.
She thought that was funny, too. She thought that was funny, too, didn't she?
Yeah, well, she said it.
Yeah, of course she thought it was funny. Okay, so what about what about your wife's DNA? What is she?
She is 100% European and like 80% Scandinavian, and then a little bit of Irish, a little bit of British, and she's actually Ashkenazi Jew.
What?
Yeah, an Ashkenazi Jew.
What is that?
It's an Ashkenazi Jew. They're like, it's like everybody's a little bit of an Ashkenazi Jew.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm American.
I guarantee you are. I guarantee fucking you are.
I'm a Native American. I was born in the United States.
It doesn't matter.
I know
your DNA. So I don't know what that means, but So she's like it's funny. She literally, it said 100% European, and like, they had like a globe picture, and it's all like up in the northern Norwegian, Finland, Sweden, you know, that's where her answer is. And then a little bit of, you know,
Eastern European sprinkled here and there.
Interesting. Interesting. The was there any surprises in there for you?
For me?
Yeah. You weren't
no.
Okay. All right.
No.
All right.
I mean, I think I was surprised that my wife is like nothing but 100% pure European. No other monkeys
swinging in your family tree?
No. And then see my daughter has like I think 8% Native American.
Yeah, that would be right.
And then she's got like a smidgen from both of us. So she's got some German in her, she's got Spanish in her, she's got some Norwegian in her. So yeah, it's kind of crazy. Crazy.
So here's an email. I've contemplated doing that. The gunner said that 23 thing is the best one. So your daughter did the research, Mike, and that's what she concluded?
I like it. She likes it because it's once you get the results are in a format that you can really understand, and the way they're presented. It's really professionally done, and I just think it's an easier read. It makes more sense the way they describe it. I didn't look at the other ones. It was the first one, and she said, "Hey, what do you think of this?" We looked at it together, and I said, "Yeah, you know, let's do it, okay?" But she was really enthralled in the fact of getting this all done because she wanted to know. She wants to know. She's, you know, in her age that. Genealogy is kind of important to her heritage, who she is. You know, there's a lot of stuff on the internet that, you know, you can read a lot of blogs or forums about it that say this is just BS because it's only doing, you know, it's only doing the mother's side of the chromosome, you know, and I get it. Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those, it's neat. It's neat to have and look at it, you know, and kind of get a background. And then you read into it, and it's even more interesting looking at the different, they call it health groups, you know, like they look at different groupings of your chromosomes and then decide where your mother or father, that bloodline comes from, and then they can kind of judge and see how old that, you know, generations are. Just neat. And then it shows you by states, like how many relatives you have in the United States. You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah, it's really, really fascinating. So I have a lot of my relatives reside in Colorado and California. That makes sense because my grandmother and my grandfather, you know, and a lot of his relatives came from Southern California, and my grandmother's side of the family all came from Colorado. So it's just kind of neat.
Here's another email. Matt, could you read the Bergdahl sentence one more time? You don't have to discuss it. Could you just read it? Yeah, I'll read it. A dishonorable discharge, reduced in rank to private, forfeiture of pay equal to $1,000 per month for 10 months, and no
$10,000.
And no prison time. So that is the sense.
So you know he's going to write a book.
Yeah, he'll be a millionaire.
He'll probably get a TV deal out of this. He'll be on some talk shows, and within a year he'll be a millionaire.
Yeah, he'll be up in Montana with Montana. He'll be up hanging out with Montana Man at the
VA. He'll achieve the American dream by being a traitor. Isn't that kind of crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, he'll live out his life cushy and comfortable. He'll be hanging out at the VFW with Montana Man.
Oh. No, he won't hang out. He'll hang out with celebrities and all these other people that are, you know, that condemn the government for going to war in the first place and that he's still a victim. There's those guys. But he achieved the American dream. Basically, he's never going to have to worry about money again. He can have anything he wants. The world's going to be his oyster because he was a traitor.
There's a poll right now on Marine Corps Times. All right. Did Bo Bergdahl get the sentence he deserves? 89% say no, the judge went too easy on him. And then what's amazing, next is 6% say I'm conflicted, nobody wins in this case. And then 5% say yes, he served with distinction and should be free of jail time.
5%?
Yeah, those are the idiots that are just...
So, no, they've only polled 6 people. One person said that.
376 votes. 376 votes.
Freaking stupid, man.
Isn't it?
I'm telling you, man, someone needs to flush the toilet. It's getting full. This world that we live in is just becoming just, disgusting. It's a putrid petri dish of disgusting, despicable people.
You know, and it gets even better because, you know, the people that run Google and Facebook and all that shit, they were up on Capitol Hill this week. So what you have is you have all these fucking liars in Washington, D.C., and then you have they don't even have to use the media to lie through anymore. They just have these conduits that they lie through. Facebook, Google, just throw the shit up
Twitter.
There. Yeah, just throw the shit out there. And there's no agency for the truth, blah, 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 blah.
No! It's just the internet. It's free.
It's shit on top of shit on top of shit. So
why do we need the truth? The truth is boring.
Yeah, it's for stupid people. It's for stupid people. Yeah,
for the unimagined. The truth is for people with no imagination.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's for you idiots
why would
out
you
there.
Want that?
It's for you idiots out there. It's not for us. So anyway, all right. Do you have any big plans over the weekend?
No.
Hey, here's an email.
Oh.
No, this is actually a funny one. I'd like to know if the Gunner saw the marriage proposal the other night of the shortstop of the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
Did you see?
It was quick.
Did you see the kiss that his now fiance put on him? Did you see that kiss, Mike?
No, why? Well, I saw him kiss, why?
No, it's a good kiss. It's amazing that nobody chipped a tooth, okay? Because she was fired up.
Oh, yeah. You know, she's like, ah! You know, her future husband just won the World Series. She's pretty a popular girl right now.
She's former Miss Texas, too.
Yeah, I saw that, but I seen a picture of her there. I don't know what happened to her then.
Oh, easy now. Easy.
Yeah. Hey, had dinner last night at the Publican dinner here in Granbury, and Jay Novacek, the old Dallas Cowboy, was there. He's a good guy. But Lieutenant Dan Patrick from the great state of Texas showed up. And gave a great speech.
Wait, Lieutenant Governor, right? Not Lieutenant.
Lieutenant Governor.
Okay. Hey, here's another question in Marine Corps Times. Can sergeants adequately lead infantry squads in an evolving battlefield? Mike, yes or no?
Can sergeants
lead
squads in a battlefield like today?
Yeah, with more people in the squad, with more technology in the squad, can sergeants do that? Or do we need staff sergeants?
No, I've met some pretty good, phenomenal sergeants that, their weight and goal, their weight of leadership potential ability was that of 2 or 3 staff sergeants. Now, I've met some great staff sergeants, but I would say that sergeants still are hungry.
Okay, so we're going to vote yes. 68% of the Marine Corps agrees with you. Only 8% say no, staff sergeants should be in charge of squads like they are in the Army. And 24% said it should be on a case-by-case basis. That's with 1,500 voters.
You can't do that.
I know, it's stupid. It's either yes or no.
Yeah.
It depends. I hate those people that do that.
Okay.
Well, it depends.
Honey,
you like my pants?
It depends.
You like the pants I'm wearing tonight? It depends.
Depends.
What do you mean it depends?
Depends on the situation.
Yeah. Depends on where you're going. If you're going to a carnival, yeah, they're great pants for a carnival. If you're going to dinner at a 5-star restaurant, no.
That is a decent answer, though.
That would be it, yeah.
Yes, that's...
Not just, it depends.
Yeah.
Or it's a case-by-case basis.
In this case, yeah, you can't do it like that. Either they're going to be staff sergeants like they are in the Army. I don't even want to say the word Army because I'm disgusted by them. Okay?
I'm disgusted. I'm not disgusted. I'm disappointed.
Come on, man. Bullshit.
I'm extremely disappointed in the outcome that was held by an Army judge in an Army that they came to that. I don't know, man.
Mike, they always fuck this shit up. Mike, let me ask you this. Why would guys in that squad, guys in his platoon, why would they be forced by the Army to sign non-disclosure agreements? You add that on top of the way they handled the Pat Tillman thing, and you're like, come on, are you guys stupid? What is the Marine Corps philosophy? Tell the truth. Everybody tell the truth. It's going to sound shitty. Tell the truth. Because you're only going to make it worse if you lie. And I remember one of the funniest fucking things I saw from 2004 in Iraq. Some guy at time went over and hung out with Marines from either 2-4, it might have been 2-5 in Ramadi. And they're in there playing cards one night, and he walks in, he goes, you guys care if I ask some questions? And they're like, no, go ahead, right? You can imagine, smells like ass, you know, playing cards, laughing and talking shit. Do you guys control the streets of Ramadi? And a chorus said this, oh, fuck no. Well, the Secretary of Defense just said that you did. Yeah, well, maybe he should come out here and go on patrol with us and get his ass shot up and see what he thinks then. Right? Funny as hell. The truth, though. Tell the truth, man. And Marines, you know, that's normally the advice you get from a PAO. Just tell the truth. Sure. Tell them what you think. And but it never... So, anyway. Okay. No big plans for the weekend.
No. Have a good weekend. I'm here. I'm not going to talk about this anymore, about that. They just do it.
Okay. All right. Don, it'll make you happy. Go to the Petroleum Club. Tell all the boys.
I'm there.
Tell all the boys that we said hey. Tell all the girls that we said hey, and have a good weekend.
All right. Talk to her.
Yeah. The one and only, Michael Musselman, otherwise known here on the program as the Gunner. I am seriously sick to my stomach. No jail time. Are you kidding me, Mac? I know you're not, but I'm sitting here dumbstruck. How does that make sense? And don't give me that he already was incarcerated by the Taliban. He walked off his post. He endangered everybody, and he's not responsible for that? That wasn't incarceration. That was his fault, and he gets that. Nothing? Great message to send to the rest of the United States Army, that you're not responsible for your own actions. Do whatever the fuck you want. Walk off your post. Get no jail time. You're a victim too. Congratulations. This is so bullshit. It makes me want to vomit. Pile this on top of the disrespect of the NFL. And what direction are we going as the United States military and as a nation? I swear to God, I am so sick of this shit, it makes me want to puke. Have a good weekend, Mac. I thought the conversation about race was pretty goddamn funny. The military, I think, is one of the few places that you have those kind of discussions. I think you probably have them on some sports teams, too, when you are close and you live together and you give a shit about each other. Most people don't, though. That was pretty funny. I thought it was, too. I was sitting there. I thought it was... I thought it was funny as hell. I didn't think it was funny when my staff sergeant said, "I hate black people." I was like, "Ah!" My head snapped. All right, this is over. And then I said, "No." And I said, "No, stop. Why?" And then one of the black guys said, "That's all right, sir. We hate them too." And now, everybody, they had everybody's attention, so it's like I wasn't going to turn it off. Like, all right, well, let's talk about it. Why? Because we don't grow up in the inner city. And then they heard it from, we heard it from both perspectives. And I'll tell you what, it's, you know, shit you've never heard in your life. Because you didn't grow up like that. Yeah. Anyway, it was awesome. Funny shit, too. Sad day, though, honestly. Sad, sad day. But you know what? Hopefully all of this balls up and the American people continue to say we're tired of this shit and we want better. We want better and we expect better. And if you can't give it to us, then we'll find some other way to do it. We'll enact different laws. We'll do some other shit. But this country's got to change because it can't keep doing the stupid shit that it continues to do. It's absolutely disgusting and dishonorable. And I'll tell you what, look, Donna Brazile is not, I would tell you that I have little or no respect for her. But the book that she wrote took a little bit of moral courage to write. And it raises questions about people like Bernie Sanders, who knows, who knew what the hell was going on and never said shit. Is that your oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States? I don't think it is. But anyway, have a great weekend. We'll be back here Monday. Going to see if we can get Grant Newsham on Monday. There you have it. Have a great one. This program repeats itself right now.